Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. This is part three of a four-part series titled, Preparing for Visitation. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Exodus chapter 3 tonight. Speaking to Moses in verse number 5, he said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover," he said, "I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows." The word "know" there means "for I feel their pain. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land unto a good and large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" It's very clear down here, and what I'm going to talk about tonight is this. It's, how do I want to use this word? Moses found himself to be at the burning bush with absolutely no burden at all for anything. He had no burden at all for God's people. He had no burden for them being in bondage. He was completely oblivious to the suffering of a million people. Even though he got away, he was oblivious to those people that were still enslaved. He had no burden. A man or a woman today in America with no burden, we're going to talk about that tonight, is a man or a woman that will never see visitation. A burden, having a burden from the Lord, and understanding what that means, and letting that govern your life, not only prepares you for many visitations, but there's all kind of surprises along the way. Most people get consumed with their own life, and that's their burden. That's not the burden of the Lord, that's your burden. The burden of the Lord versus your burden has to be sorted out. Here's what God said to Moses in verse number 7. He said, "I see their affliction, I hear their cry, and I feel their pain." Say it out loud. I've seen their affliction. I heard their cry. I feel their pain. I see it. I hear it. I feel it. See, here's God. He calls Moses over to the bush, and he realizes that Moses don't want to be there. Moses wants to be back with his sheep, with his pretty wife, and with his family, with Jethro, with his responsibilities. He's high on top of the mountain, and God's trying to let Moses see that he's a man living free of a God burden. Oh, he's burdened down. He has to make sure he raises the sheep. He's got responsibilities. He's got things to take care of. But none of them would God classify as a burden that I've given you. that advances the kingdom. But Moses wasn't aware of this. Moses was living by the rule of, hey, I take care of my wife, I take care of my kids, I take care of my, I raise the sheep, you know, I hold down my end of the woods, and, you know, that's the way that it is, and I'm doing the best that I can, and hey, I wish I could help all those people out there. I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, I just don't have, and he was hiding behind this cloak of, I'm a very busy man, I got a lot of things going on, my plate is so full, I'll tell you what. So here's God. So God calls him up, says, take off your shoes, come a little closer. Come on, get a little closer to the fire. So he gets a little closer to the fire, and all he hears is this voice coming out of the fire, and he says, I hear their affliction. You don't. Come on, say, I hear it.
I hear it.
I see their affliction. You don't. I hear their cry. You don't. I feel their pain. And you don't. Now, he didn't condemn him for that. He knew that's just where Moses was. But he was planning, and then he goes down to verse 9, and he says this, now therefore, behold. This is where he begins to turn to Moses, and he was saying to Moses, I brought you up here so that you would begin to see what I see and hear what I hear and feel what I feel. So that I would begin to replace all of what you call the burden of life and all of your responsibilities. I can lighten your load by one snap of my fingers if I can get you to see what I see and hear what I hear and feel what I feel. I want you to be one of my men that's walking around planet Earth that has a burden that is propelling you. Now, the word burden in Hebrew, guess what the Hebrew root word for burden is? You ready? NASA. N-A-S-A. NASA. And what that means is to take a weight and lift that weight up and beyond. Come on, say burden. In Hebrew, means NASA. Isn't that interesting? So whenever you see NASA over in Cape Kennedy over here in this shuttle, NASA, they're taking technology, they're lifting the weight of technology up and beyond. So here we see the burning bush. I call it the burden bush because that's what it really is. Moses is like a lot of American Christians or European Christians or South American Christians. And it's just sometimes the season that we're in, or it's a part of the growth process that we all go through, obviously. But some people never grow up, and they never have a burden from the Lord. Once Moses got the burden, visitation was unparalleled. Most people don't carry a burden of the Lord. They carry the burden of their own decisions and their debt and their people they live with, their children, their possessions. That's not the burden of the Lord. God didn't buy that house. You did. And sometimes we begin to think that we come to church and we use church and all of the strength of church and all of the slaying power and all of the anointing to help us with our burdens of life. And God don't mind helping you and I with the burdens of our life. I mean, that's what he's the burden bearer. He's the yoke destroyer. We know that. But what he's saying is that I don't like you to be like Moses, who's down there with destiny written all over him, capable of so much more, yet settling in for a wife and kids and sheep and a father-in-law and a successful living, when he has no clue, no traveling very light, no burden for Israel, for America, for the Jewish, for the Gentile, for the lost, for the sick, for the hurting, just consumed with just his four and how many more?
Mm-hmm.
So the burning bush was really a burden bush. For Moses to get the visitation that would be unparalleled to anything else he'd ever see, What he was about to see, he could not know, but he couldn't do it without having what? The heart of God involved in it. What is God's heart? Whenever you see what he sees and you feel what he feels and you hear what he hears. And therein is a preparation there for visitation, because, boy, whenever you begin to hear what he hears and see what he sees, and it is transitional, it's an evolving kind of a thing, because we're all very selfish by nature, and we're so overly responsible for our own lives. And so we hide behind the fact of all that we have to do, and that's fine. We do have things to do. But there's so many people, good God-fearing people that go to church, but they're just clueless of how to help the church. No burden for the church, no burden for the lost. They have a burden for their grandkids and for their children, and the burden for their rose garden, you know, and a burden for their garage and make sure they get the right garage up, and they have a burden for, you know, they have a burden for all that stuff out there. That's a very real part of life. So God says, okay, when he sees that you're in that, and then God is reduced to being a savior within your biosystem. He's reduced to being a helper, a savior, a deliverer within a very limited space. When you were born, because he knew you before you were in your mother's womb, he had something in mind for you to do, something in mind for you to become. He has not just one assignment, but who knows how many miniature or medium assignments, usually one dominant assignment, sometimes several dominant assignments, so many things for you to go to and be a part of. But sometimes we never, ever get the heart of God. So therefore, we're always doing things in church out of duty instead of out of heart. And when you do things out of duty instead of out of heart, it dries up. It turns into a job. You're serving the Lord out of duty, out of yada yada. And that's the way Moses was. So you can't feel bad about yourself tonight. Don't get all worried, because Moses was the same way. And he turned out okay. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
He did not want to be involved in anybody else's life. He said, look, I killed the guy. I got exiled. I found myself on the Jericho Road, or on the Midian Road, the Midianite Road. And I found the wife and got settled in, got stabilized. I'm just about, you know, and I'm okay. And he didn't want any stuff about going back in. He didn't want to come out to be brought back in. That wasn't on his mind. He was burden free. Those church people, some of them never listen. Some of them don't want to learn. Some of them don't appreciate when you do try to help them. Church people. Took her the whole way over there, paid for her gas. Never even said thanks, Pastor. Never even said thanks. You know, and sometimes, and a lot of times, serving the people of God is a thankless job. And that's why you never serve people. You serve the Lord. Come on, you serve the Lord. You look up and say, boy, I'm doing one for you, Lord. This is for you. Because when you get caught up serving the church or the Lord, or the people, then you're going to get so disillusioned, because you're going to run into people that don't want to hear the right advice. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to listen. They don't do what you said the last time, let alone waiting to do what you said this time. They're set in their ways. They got stronghold. They deny they need deliverance. They deny they have to cut back on the wrong food. They don't want to hear about telling them what to eat. They don't want to hear about telling them what to read. They don't want to hear. They don't want to hear nothing. They just want your money and your ear and your time and any way you can just help them waddle down the road of life. But nobody really wants to deeply change. Transformation is what? I don't know who you are. I don't recognize you. You're just a totally different person. So whenever you begin to see this here with Moses, what God was saying, look, and he didn't even reveal, Moses hadn't laid down the staff yet. The staff hadn't turned into a stick. He hadn't done the 10 plagues yet. He hadn't did no Red Sea. Moses didn't even know the best was yet to come. Yet he's up here saying, and God is saying, do you hear what I hear? Moses is going, Do you see what I see? Moses is thinking, oh, church. Do you feel what I feel? And whenever Moses clearly was what? Standing at the bush, say it, without a burden.
Without a burden.
No burden.
No burden.
No clear cut on the inside that God put that on the inside of me. An assignment. A potential assignment. A project. A mission. Whether it's a temporary mission that leads to another mission, whether it's something lifelong. If all you use the church for is to better your life in your ecosystem and you never get a burden from the Lord, then you're going to reduce the power of the Godhead of what he's able to do in you. Because he don't want to be limited to your world. He wants you to come into his kingdom.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has to birth inside of you a burden. It has to be by way of the Holy Spirit. A burden is an emotional and mental weight. It's similar to a pregnancy where he puts something in you and you know that it's there and it grows on the inside of you. And if you're nurturing it, and if you want it, if you desire it, it has so many phenomenal supernatural side effects that help you focus and remove you from the craziness of everyday life. Because again, if you use the church and but you're caught up with your daughter and who she's dating and the car and all you're like a pinball just being bounced around. And then you go to church and you feel the anointing and you get a healing or you get a prophecy, but no burden. Your womb is empty. And the fact that you know your womb is empty is because you still continue to just bounce all over the place. Moses was not hearing what God was hearing. He wasn't seeing what God was seeing, and he wasn't feeling what God was feeling. And therein was the reason for the bush. Come on, say it out loud. Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you feel what I feel? And the answer to that tonight is, if we're honest, most of the time we don't. We probably tonight here have flashes of that. We get flashes of it. You know, and when you get that flash, that moment is so rewarding. And you're getting a glimpse, you're getting a flash of what God wants to be something on a more regular basis. Because, you know, as natural people living a supernatural life, as we're prone to everything that's in the natural world. And as we go down this path, you know, we need every weapon we can to fight against natural laws, and let alone to fight against the supernatural invasion of the devil and his dark kingdom, the demons and so forth. Fallen angels we know aren't released yet. And you can tell in about 5 minutes when you're talking to somebody if they have a burden from the Lord. People with the burden, you feel it, you hear it. It's somewhere in their conversation. And again, tonight, if we're taking a little x-ray, all we're doing tonight, look at me, look how light I am. Look at light, just light. But I meet so many people that I could help if they would let me. You know, you'll live longer if you listen to me tonight.
Amen.
You'll live rich and you'll live happy and you'll live satisfied. Because there's not too many things out there that has any lasting effect to it.
That's right. Amen.
Nothing out there that glitters and glares and has a price tag on it. Not even any place that you visit. The shelf life of the Grand Canyon is the shelf life of the nylon pool in the Barbados, the shelf life of any Eiffel Tower. I've been in it twice, clear to the top, and don't care if we ever go back. Yet some people think, oh, I'd love to go there. I'd love to go there. We go there, you take a picture. I haven't even looked at the picture of it. Shelf life of gifts and jewelry and shelf life of furniture, shelf life. Pretty soon we surround ourselves with pictures and photo albums and furnitures, and really it's just dead. And all of a sudden we begin to think, what's happening? Well, what's happening is that you were made to be impregnated with a burden from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's calling us all to the bush. And he's saying, do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you feel what I feel? Until we begin to hear that on some level. That's why he said, take my yoke, it's easy, and my burden is light. It's an emotional and a mental weight, but because it's from him, the grace with it is amazing. The burden he gives you, it's ingratiated with resource. It's ingratiated with energy. It's ingratiated with life. It helps sustain you. It causes you to want to wake up the next day. But the burdens that we create for ourselves cause us to grow old, cause us to get stressful, causes us to dry up, causes us to get our focus all broken. So we need to exchange a lot of our burden for the burden of the Lord. So the burden of the Lord can begin to be the driving force in your life. Why are you here? Why have you lived this long? Why have you survived, overcome many things? Why is so many people around you no longer here? They've gone on. You're still here. Why do you continue to beat the odds? What is it that's yet left undone for you to put your hand on, for your eyes to see, for your lips to touch? What is it yet that God has for you that's going to cause your shout to be heard around the family globe, around the family tree, maybe even around the city you live in, the place where you work? What is it that's going to cause you to pinch yourself in spite of all the pain? We all sit here tonight with loss of life, probably most of us, setbacks, pain, hurt, and you can only get healed so much. You got to get healed of being healed, and you got to be delivered of being delivered, and you got to begin to accept the burden of the Lord as the driving force in your life. The best healer is a wounded healer. Because he knows what it's like to be sick, or she knows what it's like to go through 5 marriages, or she knows what it's like to be raped or to have had 4 abortions. So she's been through something. She's a wounded healer. Jesus, our Savior, is a wounded healer.
Yes.
By his stripes,
amen,
we are healed. The burden of the Lord, the purpose of it, number one, is to create the heart of God in you. To create God's heart in you. Whatever that burden may be, it could be something as much as the homeless people in your neighborhood. It could be, you know, the Jewish people. It could be seniors. It could be teenagers. It could be, you just begin to look around at people that are more happy than sad. A lot of sad people have healing testimonies. How can that be? A lot of sad people go to church every week. How can that be? But I'll tell you who isn't sad. People that have a burden, who they have a healing testimony, or they got a little bit of money, but man, they're driven because they're living for something bigger than themselves and bigger than their little ecosystem. They feel so satisfied. I just got a little photograph from Kathy. Just sent me a little thing in the mail from the... She's involved in these little missionary kids from the Bahamas. Can't be more than 40 or 50 kids that she just concentrates on. It has just changed her life. See, the heart of God is about living away from yourself. The heart of God is about if you keep your life, you lose it. If you lose your life, you keep it. Come on, see, if I keep it, I lose it.
If
I lose it, I keep
it.
See, and what God wants you to lose your life in is not just more country club tennis.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. But you can be a spirit-filled Christian playing tennis at the country club and still have a burden where your prayers is aimed right, your money is aimed right, your time is aimed right. So you don't have to be a one-string guitar. Come on, say amen. I mean, you can do multiple things, but what God wants is he wants to know what's beating on the inside of you. Because more people live for themselves than they do for the Lord. And therein lies the gist of their problem. That's why visitation doesn't come. Visitation come. God wants visitation to come because he wants to back up. He wants to back up someone who's making an attempt to get his heart. It's an amazing thing to get God's heart beating on the inside of you. That's why we walk past lost people and say nothing, walk past people in wheelchairs and say nothing. Yet we want to move in power, but every day we move around and say nothing. It's not because you don't want to. You mean you want to, but look at me. The software's not in place yet. When the software gets in place, then God has something more to work with. God needs something to work with. All through the scripture, he can do nothing unless he has something to work with. Fishes and loaves, a pot of oil, a handful of grain, a jawbone, a stone and a sling. He always needs something to work with. So he needs something to work with in you. And that is what a yielded will, a desiring heart. To what? To be on assignment 24/7. You don't have to have a briefcase and a business card and a title to be on assignment. I mean, because you are spirit-filled, you've been to this upper room, you know him. He saved you, forgave you, healed you, kept you alive all these years. I mean, you qualify to be on assignment somewhere. Yes. Amen. It could be a verbal assignment. It could be somewhere where, you know, you're just taking care of business and you never get to speak or sing or preach, but, you know, just your shadow falls, your presence, your spirit. You know, you're there because you're supposed to be there. You're on assignment. You're on assignment being a janitor at the mall. It's not a lifelong thing, but now you're on assignment. That's where you are for your assignment for now. But the point is, it's not where you're working. It's the heartbeat on the inside. See, it's people. The kingdom isn't about buildings in Tampa or buildings in Toronto. It isn't about theaters and it isn't about, it's about people. It's somehow the heartbeat to help more people. I think there's enough people that need help. Yes. In some capacity. Now the easy way out, there's an easy way. You come to Pastor Billy, you give him $1,000 and say, here, put this into missions. And we take the $1,000 and we aim it somewhere. You come to Pastor Billy, you drop a bunch of clothes off, and you say, here, give these to some poor people. So we become your middleman, and we do that. In your heart, I gave money, and that's all good. But a lot of people, see, don't want direct contact. They want someone else to do it. And so they miss a reward. They miss a visitation. There's no visitation greater than sensing that you just did something God wanted you to do. I mean, that is a high that just doesn't wear off to the next day. You just know that you know, whether that was a 6-month assignment, a year assignment, or 30 years of assignment, whatever it is, a bunch of little ones headed for the big one, whatever. Where you're just doing more than just bouncing around and calling all of your problems the burden. Now, you created that. God didn't give you that. That's wasting time because of not getting the appropriate, what do you have me? What do you want to put on the inside of me? Because if we continue to just use him to service our lives, wherever they may be, we may miss the most richest part of visitation in our whole life. Because we just don't hear what he hears. Feeling things, seeing things, hearing things, feeling things, seeing things, hearing things, feeling things, seeing. And where I can touch, I touch. Where I can put money, I put money. Where I can preach, I preach. You know, I mean, you just, and all of a sudden you find yourself almost, you know, disengaged from crazy. I see it, but I'm not in it. I hear it, but I'm not in it because this other thing is just doesn't give him any time to get into crazy. You have too much time to get into crazy. Don't you ever get depressed? Don't have any time. Come on, say full.
Full.
Rich.
Rich.
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
On assignment.
On assignment.
Amen. I mean, did you ever see a policeman when he's on duty at some outing, you know, carrying his gun and his badge? He's too busy looking around, surveying the crowd. He don't have any time to think about problems at home. He don't have any time to think about the bills that he owes. Man, he's on alert. He's got his gun there. He's looking around. He's got his walkie-talkie there. He's, you know, he is on location. He's on the job. And when you're given an assignment by God, you're when his heart gets in you, everywhere you go, come on, say, everywhere I go.
Everywhere I go.
Say it, every restaurant.
Every restaurant.
Every vacation.
Every vacation.
Come on, every mall.
Every mall.
Every flea market.
Every flea market.
Every family reunion.
Every sporting event.
Come on, everywhere I go,
everywhere I go.
I'm on assignment.
Amen.
See, you become sensitized to another kingdom. And then you begin to hear the cry for deliverance from drugs in that arena. You can begin to lower where some kids are abducted and where they're being kept and where they're being hidden. The church ought to be finding every missing child. We have the gift to find every missing child. We have the gift to uncover all the crime. We have revelation gifts. That's why it says we will teach and disciple nations. When you begin to get that heart of God on the inside of you, it's a faith bed for passion to grow. There's so little passion today. And I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to people that you know. But did you see it? Do you see it out there? A lot of people just no passion for God. There's no fire shut up in their bones. They love Him, but there's no passion for Him or to do His work. It's really hard to get people to do anything. March for this or crusade for that or answer the phones for this or do this or go on this. Everybody's busy, and their busy is a Martha busy that outweighs the Mary busy. And then the Martha busy people can't figure out why they're not having visitation. Because he's in the other room. He's in the next room. He's over there with Mary's. You signed up for the Marthas, but he's over there with the Marys. So if you want to get what Mary got, you got to drop the pot, the pan, the dish towel, and go and join the Mary group. Come on, say amen. Not all visitation comes to people. It's not equal. It's not, favor isn't fair, and neither is visitation. He visits the hungry, the seeker, the person that really wants. You know, I know the first week we talked about, I delight to do thy will. Last time we talked about putting those things on the altar, both good and bad, on the altar. But tonight we're talking about, do you have a burden? No, not your house payment. I'm not talking about your house payment. Do you have a burden? I'm not talking about your kid on drugs. I'm sure that weighs on you. No. I'm talking about the burden. If you read in your Bible, book of Jeremiah, the burden of the Lord. No, your son on drugs is the burden of you. That's not God don't give you that to help you live life or to humble you. That's life. That's not something you even caused. That's a decision by your son that affects you, makes you heavy. And that's a burden. That's a burden. But the burden of the Lord, the Hebrew word, is the word nasa. It's to lift you up and beyond and over. When you go answer the phones at the church and you don't have a burden to do it, but you've been asked to do it, or you feel it's your duty to do it, it doesn't do anything for you. Because you're doing it because someone needs help. They asked me to come over and move their furniture. Yes, so-and-so asked me to come over and take an old chair out of their garage. And there's a lot of things we do because of duty, because we're asked to do it. But what's churning and yearning and burning in you to do? Well, I don't know. That's probably the truthful answer. Well, that's what God wants to put in you. That's where visitation is. Because you won't do anything very long out of duty without it becoming monotonous and boring. Even something churchy and Christian can become very boring. if it doesn't begin to percolate from the inside because God gave it to you. Man, God told me this. Holy Ghost told me that. I had a dream. Martin Luther King, I had a vision. I had a dream. I had a vision. God spoke to me. Prophecy confirmed it. I was in the Word. I saw an angel. I had an experience. God spoke to me this 20 years ago. I mean, you get people that have a burden of the Lord. It's so different than people just functioning in kingdom service. There's so many people working in churches. I wouldn't want to shake hands with them or hug them. Nice people. Nice people. I'm just saying that's not what I'm about. I didn't sign up for that. I like spirited people. I like people that are being navigated from the inside. That God lit their candle. That they recognize where would they be if it wasn't for Jesus.
Amen.
Come on. Come on, say out of duty, and out of burden. Two different things. How many people serving churches out of duty? They serve and they complain to everybody out there what they're doing. Just murmuring, complaining. It's a sign that you're functioning out of duty. You don't hear yet. You don't see yet. You don't feel yet. A lot of people want healing ministries and pray for sick people, but it's not because they feel or see or hear. It's because it's public. There's a lot of limelight to it. There's a lot of fulfillment to it. And that's what they want. They're attracted to the lights. And it takes a while sometimes. Sometimes they never make it. They never cross over that transition. Some do. You get close enough to human suffering, and hopefully the Holy Ghost can use that to connect you. Not everybody. It's not automatic. Some of your most heartless people are doctors and nurses. I mean, they just treat people like objects. They're desensitized. Other people, their doctors and nurses, it's kind of like they're in it because they just care about people.
Yes.
See, separating your problems from the burden of the Lord. Your problems are heavy, they sink ships. His burden is light because there's so much grace around it. And it gives you life. It lifts you up. It carries you. It sustains you. And it's sad today because most people are stuck in their plate with all these negative burdens of their own lives. And here's what they say. I just can't get over here to the burden of the Lord. I got so much of this. And they never make the switch. This one's heavy. This one's light.
Come on.
And they never make the switch from heavy to light because they think they just can't drop this to get to that. Martha couldn't see she's complained. How can she be in there? She's not doing anything. She's traveling so light. But the burden that Mary had was that I may know him more. If you don't make a switch with the burdens of your life to the burden of the Lord, come on, say burdens of my life,
to the burden of the Lord,
I'm going to travel heavy. And it's going to be a hard place for passion to be born. Passion is birthed around burden. And when the driving force becomes something from the inside, why are you doing that? Because I want to do it. What do you mean? Because they ask you? No, I want to do it. Too many people out there have no burden of the Lord. Their burdens, yes. His burden, no. And therefore, they struggle to be passionate. You know what they depend upon for passion? Lighter fluid from church. Shh. A good service. That's what their passion is, a good service. We have to have a great knockout service to get them to get their pilot light flickering again. We need to get a light inside of you that don't go out.
Amen.
And we've got to get you connected where your pilot light just stays on. You go through a rough time, your pilot light's on. Your marriage is in trouble for a season, your pilot light's on. You're out of money for a season, your pilot light's on. You know, your kids backslide and go into the far country, your pilot light's on. Why is your pilot light on? It's because you're not trapped into the ecosystem out there. Yeah, you walk on the beach, you walk on it, taste the salt water, get a little tan, go home. Bye, see ya. You know, you may watch a movie, but you walk out, eat a little popcorn, wipe the butter off and say, thank you, Jesus. What are we doing tonight? But you have to live long enough, I guess, to understand some of this, because whenever you're 20 and you take Grand Canyon pictures or Barbados pictures, you know, you climb Mount Everest or you whatever. I mean, all of a sudden you begin to realize everything is fading. Nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. How come nothing lasts? It's because everything here is dying. Every animal, every plant, the earth itself. Everything. We're in a dying ecosystem. But what's alive is you, the God in you, and the burden that He wants to put inside of you to get your focus moving in the right direction. Whether you realize it or not tonight, none of us are that strong that we don't need something to help us focus. Because where your focus is, your faith is. Where your focus is, your feelings are. And all of a sudden, your focus becomes your shelter. But if you just go to church, if you just go to church and get prayer, if you just go to church and take the prayer into your workplace, and all you continue to carry your burdens of life, and you don't make that transition, hey, it's just a little rougher ride, that's all. Do you like riding on a dirt road or do you like interstate? I'm signing up for interstate. You could get on a plane right now and go to Israel and go over there and I can hook you up with the church and they'll put you to work over there and handing out clothes to all of the, and you can do it for 10 days and come back and go, man, that was really neat. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'd like to do that again sometime. Or you could go over there and do that, and all of a sudden, God explode on the inside of you. And now you can't live without it. Now you don't see it as a job, you don't see. But when you do it as duty, you see the faults of people. You see they're lazy, and they should be doing this, and they're lazy, and he should be out with a job because you're out of duty. When you do it out of the burden of the Lord, you don't see the frailty and the weakness. And they should be helping themselves more and should be helping themselves better. Come on, put your hands up and say, I need a burden of the Lord. It usually comes from one of four areas, your burden. Number one, it comes from something you yourself have come through. Something that you yourself have came out of or been through. If you were an alcoholic, if you were a drug addict, if you were a molested, if you were in a gang, if you were, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you come out of, wherever Jesus found you, whatever he forgave you of, whatever you've been delivered of, whatever you've been healed, usually it's a really prime target area for the Holy Ghost to create that same burden inside of you to help those, you know, that are where you used to be. It's a natural osmosis. He brought Moses out of Egypt, stabilizes him, gives him a nice wife, gives him some kids, but then he says, okay, it's time to go back in. He brings Paul out of, you know, takes him out in the desert 3 years, takes him back in. And takes all, brings them all out, and then takes them back in, as he does you and I. Now, so where burden comes from is one of the places is where you yourself. Now, a lot of people, you say, yeah, but I don't want to do it. A lot of people have never yet been healed enough. You know, it's still painful. It's still raw. It's still too close, you know, to them being reminded of where they used to be. So it doesn't work for everybody. But the Holy Ghost often will create a burden where ex-alcoholics can help alcoholics. Ex-drug people can help drug people. Come on. Ex-this can help that. It's just there's a connection. They have an identification. Whenever you haven't taken drugs, I was never a heavy drug addict. So I don't relate to cocaine and heroin. We see a lot of people delivered, but I don't really relate to that level of... See what I'm talking about?
Yes.
See, but if you've been there, then you have some sense of the hold that chemical has on you. the whole that source is a form of sorcery. It's where we get the word pharmaceuta, you know, and for the drug is from that word, and it's a sorcery. So when you've had five marriages, it's easy for the church to condemn that. There's a lot of people out there with five marriages. That's almost the norm in Hollywood now. No, really. We live in such a promiscuous, lawless society. But until we can condemn movie actors all we want, but there's some amazing actors born again that have come out of that craziness. They're still in the film industry, and they're back in that industry trying to reach the people in that industry. And, you know, you and I wouldn't be really great at that, but they came out and they have a burden because they know how those people, what they're subjected to. Why are you back in there? Well, because it's on my heart. Come on, say, it's on my heart.
It's on my heart.
Come on, say, God, put it in my heart.
God, put it in my heart.
You've got to find that out. I guarantee you, you're not the exception to this. God doesn't want one person to be walking around out there without a burden that is causing you to really be what? Lifted up and beyond your own circumstances of your own life. The second place they come from, burdens, is exposure to situations along the path of life. You may never have been... poor and homeless, but you took a mission trip to Haiti. And all of a sudden, exposure created burden. You may have went to some animal compound in Australia. Exposure created burden. So it doesn't have to be just a spiritual assignment. God's assigning a lot of people into callings that are very natural, very secular. It's a burden to go into this business, the entertainment business, the animal business, whatever it is. Because remember, with the burden of the Lord, what is it robed in? What is it cloaked in?
Grace.
And that means you're able to walk into that animal compound in Australia, and everybody that comes into that compound is going to feel the Lord.
Amen.
You're able to use that as a mission field.
Amen.
So whatever he's putting on you, from nutrition to dentistry to... It could be a number of things. Very creative is the Lord these days. He could put you on to own a ferry from Staten Island to Long Island. And you want to own your own ferry. You want to own your own taxi cab company. He's given you a burden for that. What's that got to do with anything? Well, if that's the burden of the Lord, he has a plan for you to use every one of those taxi cabs, you know, and maybe a little thing on the glove box. Maybe it's going to be a sticker on the mirror that every person in there is drawn to. Remember, it's the burden that it's not all about ministry per se. It's about ministry, but not about Christian atmosphere. He said that he sends us as what? Sheep among who? And we're to be wise as and harmless as. Come on, give him praise right now. Come on. Number three, a burden can come from just sovereign election. You know, you just wake up one day and, man, Pastor, I don't know what it was. I was out drinking a cup of tea on my patio, and bam, this light went on. And I just believe God wants me to go help out, da-da. God wants me to go, da-da. God wants me to, da-da. And I thought, well, where'd that come from? I don't know. Just all of a sudden, I began to... It can come just by sovereign election, sovereign choice. And the fourth one is, it can be something that slowly, slowly evolves out of duty. You're just dutying yourself all over the place, and you can't figure out what God wants you to do. And you know, all these people that hear God, and they know what to do. They drive me crazy. They saw an angel. They got a prophecy. Grew up, and he always knew what he wanted to do. And I'm stuck down here, you know, doing this at the church and helping out the Red Cross. I get down here, Salvation Army. I don't know. I'm just, you know, Pastor, my saying is find something to do and do it, you know. And I'm just, you know, I'm just trusting him and all. You're just meandering through the process. Process, you know, just staying faithful, just trying to be dutiful, you know. All of a sudden, man, you come home one day, it's kind of like, I did everything I normally do, but, you know, I was at Salvation Army, and I was thinking to myself, you know, what if I, all of a sudden, what, man, these people, You know, it takes God sometimes a while to get your light turned on to see what he wants you to see instead of what you always want him to see. We're trying to get God on our page, and God's trying to get us on his page. Our page don't work. His page is guaranteed. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on. Let's turn to a couple scriptures, okay? Galatians chapter 6. In chapter 6, in verse 2, he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ." Is that what your Bible says?
Yeah.
A few verses down, he says, whoa, every man must bear his own burden. Well, up in verse 2, the Greek word for burden is different here. And the Greek word in chapter 6, verse 2, is whenever it talks about bearing one another's burdens, that's where we're to help each other with the cares of life. We're to help each other. What's weighing you down is what's going on with your daughter. What's weighing you down is going on with your house. What's weighing you down is what's going on with your, what's going on. We are to help each other carry that emotionally. Now, when you go down a couple other verses, then now the Greek word, every man must prove his own work. Every man must bear his own burden. In other words, what God's called you to do, I can't do. What he's called me to do, you're not going to be able to do. I got to bear this. I get people around me to help bear it. You get people around you to help to the point. But no one can fully comprehend the burden that you carry. Because you hear what he wants you to hear, and you see what he wants you to see, and you feel what he wants you to feel. It's very private. It's very personal. Come on, say,
every man
must prove his own work.
Every man
must bear his own burden. That's be responsible. Be responsible for what you believe God is saying to you. There's a big discrepancy between what he is saying and what you think he's saying. The trouble is you know what you want. You know what you'd like God to do. And because you've been exposed to it, and because you like something, and all of a sudden now you delight to do your will. No, we're supposed to delight to do his will. If God wants you to grow apple trees, but you want to grow peach trees, but every time you plant peach trees, they don't grow. You're going to spend all kind of money on science and fertilizer and call in peach specialists, and because you want peach trees and you want the blessing of God. And then God says, no, if you just grow apple trees, it's already blessed. And usually there's a time frame involved. Sometimes it's 1 year, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's never. Cain never got it. It says in the process of time, Cain never got it. How could you not get it? How about these vegetables? No. 3 years later, how about these vegetables? Still no. 5 years later, because it says in the process of time, it wasn't a quick judgment. God gave Cain a long time to catch on. Whenever you see the word in the process of time, years. That's why God don't judge people quickly that go into homosexuality or adultery or gambling. We judge quick. God gave Jezebel, the Bible says, space. Jezebel, don't give Jezebel space. Lord, come on, what's the matter? That's Jezebel. God says, I give Jezebel space to repent. Yes. He gave Cain all these years to catch on. So if you get it late, be thankful. If you get it early, dance on the injustice. But if you get it really early, hallelujah. If you get it kind of like in your 30s, praise God. If you get it like when you're being raptured out of here, just say, well, it's too late now. I'm going somewhere better anyhow. Come on, say amen. But the point of it is, it's a fight. That's why Jacob chose to wrestle the angel at will. He realized that if he keeps operating the way that he is, you always run into a better manipulator than yourself. And he got tired of getting the blessings the wrong way. He got tired of manipulating the anointing and manipulating the favor. He got tired of witchcraft. He said, if I'm going to get something from here forward, I got to break the curse of my mother who got me started this way, because she did. And I've got to break the curse and go wrestle with God. I've got to wrestle this thing out. And that's why it was him saying, don't leave me go till you bless me. In other words, I want to get this blessing by hanging out with God and taking what God has for me to take. I want the blessing of the Lord. Yes. That's what makes. Come on, somebody give God a shout. Yeah. Come on. Come on, say, I want what God wants. I want to get it the right way. Come on, put your hands up.
Money the right way.
Ministry the right way. Anointing and favor the right way. Possessions the right way. High successful living the right way. Promotion the right way. I don't want it any old way. I want it the right way. Come on, say, the way is just as important as the will. Come on, give him praise all over this place. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. One of my favorite verses right here. Go ahead.
O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged.
Our heart is enlarged. Underline that. Your heart has to be bigger than what it is tonight, because there's not enough room in there for what God wants to do. There are people that have a bigger heart for bingo than for serving the kingdom. There's people that have a bigger heart for their hobby. There's people that have a bigger heart for... So Paul knew that for him to take on the mission that was at hand for him, he knew that his heart had to be bigger than what it was. And you've got to ask yourself, do I like black people? Do I like Asian people? How about Muslim people? How about the gays? How about? Because if you hear Christians talk, usually behind mentioning names of people is such a disdain. And of course we don't like the lifestyle, but we've got to be careful that we're not throwing the people out that he loves.
Yes.
I don't know. How far beyond temptation you are, what you go through your head, what you fight. That's just as evil as somebody that's living it, and even more evil because you are a believer. So you sin in the light while they sin in the dark. Our hearts have got to get bigger. You're never going to take on a project unless you begin to hear the cry of these people out here. You know, when you look at them, sometimes you want to think, there's a pathetic. Look at the pathetic. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, my God. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. Crazy people. It's like a zoo down there. Like a zoo, a human zoo. and you can get into all that. And yet if Jesus was to walk in that way, he wouldn't hear that or see that. We don't see what he sees. We don't hear what he hears. We don't feel what he feels. But the more Holy Ghost in you, the more empty of you, of yourself you become, and the more burden you get, start getting visitation. There's no reward like having a burden. Instead of using the church just to get rich, to be successful. If you want that, you can get that. The problem is your heart's too small. Most people's heart has enough for them, their family, maybe grandma, maybe grandpa, maybe grandkids, maybe a few friends. Not much. You don't have to go to Brazil to be in Brazil. When you get the burden of the Lord, you can be anywhere at any time. Amen. Who's in us transcends all time and space. How much energy does it take, watch this, to pray in tongues and cover the whole country of Chile? Lord, tonight I cover Chile. Rapa shata rondo ite. I'm in the mood. I'm going for Venezuela. Shada ba 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 ba. I'm going for Cuba and the Castro brothers. You know, and I'm going for. Name the last time somebody mentioned Ybor City to you, yeah. And then what the aftermath was. Oh, pass. Don't go down there at night. Don't go down there at night. Don't take your kids down there. Why? Oh my God, Pastor! It's the filthy cesspool of Tampa. It's the dark underbelly. It's the belly of the beast. It's. We don't hear their cry. Now, it could be that that's not your assignment. But then again, what is? Let's not use the word assignment. You don't like that. That could not be your burden. The NASA that lifts you up. Something's got to lift you up and beyond. I mean, who's going to go? Who wants to be in bondage to singing praise music all day? I don't. You can be in bondage to praise music. Oh, it's quiet. Stick something in. You can be bonds to the Christian TV. Last time I checked, music isn't near me most everywhere that I go, and neither is television. I'm my own entertainment. So what I have going on the inside of me has got to sustain me and keep me out of crazy. Amen. Oh, I pray in tongues. I don't. Not all day, I don't. Oh, I stay in tongues. I don't. You don't? No. Oh, Pastor, I pray in tongues all day. That's good. I'm glad you do. I don't. I do pray in tongues, but no. I'm a driven man. I'm very focused. I'm driven. My mind's on this and on that. And yeah, I mean, I'm driven. I'm in communion, but I'm, you know. What do you mean? Well, I have this mission I'm on. It's kind of abstract. It's concrete, but abstract. It's just, you know, it's just sick people, bound people, you know, random people, just people. I'm just all about people. One people, 1,000 people, 10 people, just people. On the airplane, people, in the building, people, in the foyer, people, at the gas station, people. Hey, you! Hey! Whatever, people. Why do you think you're here? He didn't bring you here to be normal.
That's for sure.
Right?
Amen.
If we reproduce who we are, then how could you be normal coming from me?
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Come on, put your hands up. Say, I need a bigger heart.
I need a bigger heart.
My heart's too small.
My heart's too small.
For the job at hand.
For the job at hand.
Enlarge my heart.
Enlarge my heart.
Oh, Lord.
This night.
Come on, give him praise one more time. Come on, we got three more verses. That's all. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 through 38. Luke chapter 1.
And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost has come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.
Be it unto me. She yielded. Here's God going overboard to reveal what he's about to put in her. He's about to put in her life assignment. Mary's life assignment was raising Jesus. Sometimes he puts that life burden in you. Sometimes, like I said, it's a 6 month. Sometimes it's a seasonal. But whatever it is, what he wants to make it work is yieldedness. Just to yield. And that's what Mary did. She's 15 years old. You know, she hadn't been through the school of maturation yet. Didn't probably fully understand her own body. How it worked. But here's an angel. That helps, I guess, if you have visitation, right?
Yes.
And the angel says, hey, here's what's going to happen. Your cousin, Elizabeth, you know, the Christ child's about to be put on the inside of you. And here's Mary's response. Be it, you've regarded the low estate of your handmaiden. Be it unto me, yieldedness. When you yield, it means you give way. It means you yield to traffic. You blend into it. Yieldedness. In other words, cut God a deal. Make a covenant with him. You know, quit fighting him. There's more God ideas going through your head than devil ideas. There's more of God. The Bible says, awake unto righteousness. You know, you are the righteousness. It's not something you do. You are the righteousness of God. You are. And so righteousness is in you percolating 24/7. God ideas are running through your system every day. God is trying to keep you away from what hasn't worked. God's trying to prepare you for the years ahead that took out your ancestors. God's trying to prepare you for the years you have left to take you out of the natural things lurking behind the trees. God's getting ready to make you what beat the all the odds of all what all the people have said about you all your life. God wants to just shut the mouth of the lions that are living in your den. Come on, somebody. Woo! Come on. But it's going to take you being yielded. Come on, say yielded.
Yielded
to once you begin to get a concept of that burden, whatever it may be. Moses didn't want to go deliver the people, but he went. If you find out as Moses went, he fell in love with the mission. I don't want to go. I can't talk. I said, da-da, da-da, da-da. Finally, he went, you know, he threw the cane down. He saw it turn into a snake. He said, oh, I might sign up for this. I like this. He began to do some miracles. This is not a bad. Powerful, you know. He began to fall in love with what he was called to do. Jonah, he didn't want to do it. Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord. And all Jonah was called to do was deliver a whole city from the king on down. Repent, the whole place get born again. Citywide revival. He didn't want it. Why didn't he want it? Because he didn't have a heart big enough for the Ninevites. He had a small heart. See, a small heart will keep you from being used in a great way. A small heart brings small visitation. Big hearts bring big visitation. So you got to cooperate. I mean, you can get away with not cooperating with me. The main motto in your life isn't to yield to everything Pastor Billy wants you to do, and I don't go along with it. I'm not the plumb line or the mark of your promotion. But inside of you, the Holy Ghost is trying to get you to partner. And it may not be anywhere physically. See, there's got to be something that gives you a break from this ground level craziness that we're all involved in. Because I'm telling you, when you're ground level with bills and problems and kids and vehicles and taxes and, you know, care assisted living and medications, and you're ground level and you come into church and you get a prayer and a prophecy, you go, no wonder you call the next day and say, what's the rest of it? I didn't get it all. No wonder, because you're ground level. But if you have a burden of the Lord, you still feel the brunt of it. Noah felt the brunt of the storm, but he was on the third level. There was a level below him and a level below that, three levels. So could he feel the brunt of the waves? He felt the brunt of it, but he didn't feel the bulk of it. He's up here. So you feel the brunt of everything. No one here is saying you don't feel the brunt of life. That'd be stupid. But to stay functional and focused, keep your health. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Quickly, come on. One of the most misunderstood verses in the whole Bible. But it won't be anymore. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, plural, being made conformable unto his death. Not Paul's death, but the death of the Lord. Here's Paul. He's in a Roman prison. He's touched the world more than anybody besides Jesus. And yet he says that I may know him. That I may know the power of his resurrection. And that I may fellowship with his suffering. Where did Jesus suffer the most? It wasn't on the cross. It was the rejection of people. The blindness of people. Their blindness, their hard heart, their unwillingness to. And in some strange way, what Paul was saying, I want to feel what he felt. How can you know somebody deep unless you feel what they feel? Amen. Unless you hear what they hear. Paul said, I want to know his power. Boy, you better believe that power of his resurrection. Man, I want to know that. Death comes back to life. Disease breaks. Man, I want to know that. But then he says, I want to know the fellowship. He's in there talking about that identification, that heartbeat that helps you relate to people. Because if you try and help people, you will get mad at people. Yes. You will. You just will. You have to say, excuse me a minute. Excuse me. Just a minute. Now watch. Thank you, Jesus. Jack, I love you so much. Jack, you're special. God has a plan for you, Jack. See, everything you're feeling about people, instead of it making you feel bad that you feel that, say, now I know what the Lord felt. When you're rejected, instead of taking it personal, grow, use it for growth and say, wow, Lord, that's what you felt. When someone misjudges you, instead of saying, I can't believe he said that about me. See, if you keep defending yourself, you don't grow. But if you say, you know what, Lord, is that what you felt? Then you grow. Hallelujah. His heart gets worked into you. It's amazing. It's just a complete reversal of self-defense. Pastor, no one in the whole family came to help, Pastor. Pastor, I had 9 brothers, 4 sisters, 3 uncles, a pet, a dog, and 6 fish. Nobody came. I'll tell you, Pastor, I'm done with all of them. Well, instead of being done with them, why don't you say this? Wow, that's what he must have felt like. See, that's the heart that gets worked in you. All depends on how much you want this.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, he picked my daughter up. You know what? He brought her home. I mean, he pushed her out of the car. Told her he never wanted to see her again. I mean, she scraped her ankle on the pavement. I'll tell you what, I'll kill him. I will kill him, Pastor. Forgive me for saying it, but I'll kill him. Did your daughter make it home okay? Yeah. Was she really hurt? Well, I mean, inside she's crying. I mean, was she, you know, was she dead and laid 3 days in the tomb? Okay, then instead of just being all angry and letting the devil move you into bitterness, take a step back and say, wow, is that what you felt like when they did that to your son?
That's right.
See, we have opportunities to flip this thing and get a bigger heart in us. It's powerful.
Amen.
Begin to ask yourself, the separation of your burdens versus the burden of the Lord. Don't be critical. Don't get him. I don't know what he meant by that. I mean, it's all mixed up to me. And take the time to understand what he's saying.